Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the illustrious Geeks Opinionated Podcast. I am one of your hosts with the most, Greg Rush, commonly referred to as Tiny Cuz, also known as Nemo Hose, also known as Mr. I Take My Shirt Off and All the Hoes Stop Breathing. Here we are. We're tuned into another episode of a Geeks Opinionated Podcast, and I thank you all for tuning in. If you are not familiar or this is your first time listening in, make sure to add us on your Spotify podcast. We are on Apple Music. We have a YouTube channel as well. Feel free to check us out. We talk a lot. We do this shit every week or as best as we possibly can because technology has been fucking up for the last week. So we're doing all we can to make it work. But I'm here with my co-host Ryan. Ryan, how we doing, dude?
Doing well. You know, if you knew how to use your laptop correctly, it would be a lot better, but we're making it work.
All right, listen, bro, you can eat a dick, okay? Like, I'm out here. I'm trying to do the best that I can.
Oh, but no, it's going well, man. I mean, I got some fun news, be married in less than a month, so that's kind of, scary and great at the same time. So let's go. COVID ain't going to stop me.
I bought my flight already, so I'll be there.
Right, yeah. So, I tricked one, so gotta get her while I can.
You finessed some woman into deciding to spend the rest of her lives with you. You have to teach me your ways, sir, because that is the hard part.
Exactly. I need to get it done now before she figures it out. Like, she's like, crap, this is a mistake.
No, absolutely. I don't know how she hasn't figured it out, bro. I've known you for a very long time. And I just, like, I've been around you when you fart, and I want to leave the room. And I like you, so, and it's just like, she has to deal with that on a daily basis. Right. Like, I would go nuts. That's the strongest woman I ever met, next to our other good friend's wife. You know which one I'm talking about. I'm not about to spill his name on here, but you know which one I'm talking about, because his farts are monstrous.
God. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited. It's coming. The COVID ain't going to stop me.
No, and as it shouldn't. I think, if nobody takes anything away from a, 25-year-old comic book nerd, I think, you should just try to do as best as you can. Of course, be safe and be healthy and be cautious. But, do not let this virus stop you from finding the, beauties in life,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And part of that joy is the new WandaVision show that just came out. We can talk about that bit if you want. It just came out, so if you haven't seen it, maybe skip ahead. I don't want to spoil anything, and we'll hit this.
Well, yeah, let's not spoil it because you wrote your review already. I'm finna write my review but I will say the one thing that I will say, I don't quite fucking know what's going on in WandaVision right now.
I don't even think we could spoil it if we wanted to.
We have no idea what's going on. I guess we can talk about our theories because it's not over. But it's just like, I feel like let's save that conversation for when we've seen all of WandaVision. But because there's only supposed to be like 8 episodes, right?
Nine. I think they added an extra one.
Okay.
So we're supposed to get an MCU TV show every Friday or every weekend for the whole year.
Oh, shit. For real?
Like a new episode. Because as soon as WandaVision stops, Falcon and Winter Soldier pick up.
Okay, that'll be interesting. I'm curious, I'm already skeptical about the, Falcon and Winter Soldier series, just because I feel like as beloved as those two characters were, and, as they were beloved as, Captain America side characters, I have no idea how they're going to be able to flesh those characters out into something a little bit more, with star power, I'll say that.
I agree with what you're saying, but at the same point, Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie's, chemistry... And the way, if you've ever seen them on a talk show host or talk show or whatever they are just like that. They just click.
That's true.
Like, bam, bam, bam. And you're playing kind of catch up to damn, they're doing a lot, but it's great. Which is actually segues great into our topic for this week.
Absolutely.
Casting and comic book media. So, fan casting seems to have been picked up a lot lately. In the last couple of years. I think MCU really just pushed for it. Of people like, oh, well, this actor would be great in this role, and this actress would be great in that role. And so there's a lot of, and I would say this is an interesting topic, because in other media, movies, what have you, when there's not this comic book fandom behind it, who gets cast kind of decides where that character goes, whereas it's the opposite for comic books, right? So... you know, you can't have Bruce Wayne be, you know, Michael Cera.
I was about to say, I was literally just about to say Michael Cera. Like, I would, right. He would not be a convincing Bruce Wayne. Like, I, exactly. I would have nothing or to Batman. Do but laugh. I would have nothing to do but laugh and leave the theater. I think he would have right. made a hell of a, I feel like, I don't even think that they are thinking far enough ahead, but like, I feel like Michael Cera has really great villain potential. I just don't know who right. he could be. You know, like, I just feel like he has a little bit of that obscurity to where if he was to cast him in like a role that was like kind of fucking psychotic, he can pull it off real well. Ooh.
Yeah.
Michael Cera for Scarecrow.
Ooh, that would be good.
Oh, that's not like the worst fan casting I've ever done. Actually, let's put that out there. Michael Cera for Scarecrow, if y'all decide to do that in the
it'd be different for real.
It can't be
worse than Lex Luthor and Jesse Eisenberg.
No, that was just so bad. Like,
I mean, you know, he played it like the Riddler, so
and that just was not optimal. You know, like right. I definitely seen better media there. You know.
Well, I think that goes into the whole, like, well, that's not what that character is supposed to be, right? So they're not, like, Lex Luthor's not supposed to be, like, crazy. He's supposed to be, like, serious.
No, he's
supposed to
be calculated, you know?
And, like, he thinks he's right. And so he's, like, calculated and conniving, and it's like he's playing chess, and he's 17 moves ahead of you, whereas, like, this Lex Luthor was just kind of like, woo. But, and that's the difference, and the characters or whatever, and the casting or whatever, and direction or whatever, but, you know, and that's where the MCU's, like, hit it out of the park. Well, you start out with Robert Downey Jr., an actor who could not be insured, right. Starting out with him being Tony Stark, and him just blowing it out of the park, and then you had Chris Evans, who was already a superhero, but then had this, like, following behind him, and it was kind of weird, whatever you, and then he became Captain America after like three movies. It was just like, oh, well, this guy, now you got it. You figured out where your rhythm was, kind of like running. And like, Hemsworth obviously looks like Thor.
Yes.
God, I wish I looked like Hemsworth. But anyway, and his movies, man, his first two movies not have been great, but he was, you could see Thor-like aspects in him.
Right,
and
like
then
it's
kind of developed that character into something different because he took liberties with it when he could.
No, absolutely. And I think about the way Chris Evans transpired as Captain America because, mm-hmm. like, quite literally, man, I remember when all that BS was going on at the Capitol, like, Chris Evans tweeted and he was like, "I'm speechless." And then somebody quoted the tweet and was like, "Fuck you being speechless, son, go suit up." Like, you know, and it's, right. it's one of those things where, like, he just carried that character in so many different ways. Like, you know, he really embodied the character. And sometimes that's really what you need. Like, but at the same time, like, I think about somebody like Christian Bale. So Christian Bale, I think there's plenty of generations of, you know, comic book fans that will argue that Christian Bale is their Batman. But, like, right. I can see Christian Bale do other shit and not be Batman.
Well, he's supposed
and,
to be,
like,
he's
totally
in Thor Ragnarok. Not Thor Ragnarok. Thor Love and Thunder. So,
yes, no,
we'll see
he
what
is.
He's going to be. He's going to be the God Killer.
Right, but, and the thing is, like, you ever seen somebody who's, like, typecast as a person? Like,
right.
I feel like in the same way that Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, I can't mm-hmm. see Ryan Reynolds in other shit without thinking about his time as Deadpool. Because, like,
no
that's
more Green Lantern movies?
I don't, no, let's get that shit out of the way. Like, you know, again, I'm pissed off that y'all wasted Chris Pine on being Steve Trevor because he would have been a good Hal Jordan, but that's another conversation. Right. But, I think...
I mean, and then, yeah, good.
Oh, no, but, like, I just think there's no, like, I could not see Ryan Reynolds as anything else because he, you know, completely ate the Deadpool role, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we can also talk about some bad castings, too, because I'm sure you know at least four or five off the top of your head.
Of course. I think before we jump into that, I think you brought up Christian Bale, and it's interesting. I think Batman and Superman have been done by so many different actors and so many, like,
Who's the best Superman?
I don't know. I liked Brandon, what's his name?
Ralph. But
it's Brandon Ralph. His portrayal, I think that the movie wasn't that good, but I think he was a good, like, his face or whatever. But then probably Henry Cavill, honestly. I think he was good.
I think Henry Cavill has the image. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Henry Cavill carries a lot of what Superman is in the way that he looks.
Right. But I think we were born after the big, there's like five Superman movies with, what's his name?
Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Like, everybody says he's the one, though. Everybody says he's the one, though.
Like, I mean, and
I feel like in the same way, it must be generational, because in the same way that everybody's like, Michael Keaton is my Batman, I'm just like, I didn't, right. I never had a big attachment to Michael Keaton's Batman. As a matter of fact, and we probably finna lose some followers after I say this shit, but me, myself personally, and this is because this movie came out a year before I was born, mm-hmm. Val Kilmer was my Batman for a really long time, because he was Bruce Wayne in Batman Forever. And Batman Forever is a little campy. It's not as campy as Batman and Robin, but like, I really do still enjoy Batman Forever. Like, it was just mm-hmm. like the way that they, you know, brought those characters to life. I don't think there were any nipples on that bat suit, but like, you know, I think they did that really well. But like, for a really long time, that was my Batman. Right. But also, and ooh, this goes back to the conversation that we had last week when we talked about voice acting. Me myself, you know, as in Greg Rush, like, I just, man, I don't think there's a Batman better than Kevin Conroy, but that's all voice acting alone. You know, I don't care. You know, I think, you know, on screen is one thing. Like, I don't think I could ever see him, like, you know, donning a cape and a cowl. But like,
except I just for, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths. Crossover for Arrowverse.
I saw, so I didn't watch the episode, but I saw that clip on YouTube and I was just not sold. But
I mean, yeah.
But it's just like, I think the animated Batman, like DC mm-hmm. AU Batman is my best one. But like, and if I had to pick like a, you know, on-screen Batman, I guess it would be Christian Bale's, but I don't think he ate that role in the same way that like one of his opposites in Heath Ledger ate his role, you know?
Well, I agree. And I think it's hard for you to take a role in the same character that's been played already or portrayed already, right?
Yes.
So you either bring your own take to it, or you try to copy what they did, and you trying to copy is not going to work. Like, I think that's part of the reason people don't like Clooney's Batman on top of everything else.
There's a million reasons why they don't like.
There's Clooney's a million Batman, reasons but we can get why. Into that.
He apologized for killing Batman. Like, he said it out loud. He was like, "I apologize for ruining Batman."
Right, and he didn't make a lot of money off that either. Apparently, I read the other day he only made like $1 million off that, and like Arnold Schwarzenegger made 25.
That's because I think crazy. At that time, George Clooney wasn't that big a deal. Like, I think after that movie is when George Clooney became a kind of big deal.
Was, you know, putting that role as a substitute and basically was playing an actor playing Batman. You know what I mean?
It just wasn't right, you know?
And so I feel like it's a lot harder when these roles keep getting, you know, recast or... You know, they redo everything or and what have you. I mean, there's like 16 Batman now. Like,
far too many.
There's far too many Batman. Like, and so then you get a favorite, and then, well, you don't like the other ones as much, and then you're like, well, he could have done that because that guy did this, and like, it becomes this whole thing where it's like, well, there's only one Tony Stark, like, RDJ, you know,
and I'll be, you know, and I'll be completely honest with you. So, you know, like, I studied film when we were in school, right? So, I learned that, you know, Hollywood kind of goes through phases. Like, for a really long time, noir films were like, you know, like, it was like fucking 7 or 8 noir films coming out every three or four years. And, you know, for a time it was Western, so it was like the same thing. And, you know, and then you get to the 90s. And, you know, people were starting to adapt superhero movies, but, like, they weren't, like, hitting on shit for real. but I know, you know, I do think, like, Hollywood adopted the superhero flick at the end of the 2000s, and they're running it into the ground. And I just think Marvel got their reins on it a little quicker than DC was able to, so now DC's trying to catch up. But I think I think Endgame marked the peak of that era. I don't think we're gonna get any really good superhero films anymore. I don't think so.
You really?
Me, myself, personally, I'm not, you know, like, optimistic about that.
Really? That's interesting. I don't agree.
Because you gotta think, like, I think all of these phases tend to last about 20 years. So, like, by 2028, we'll probably find some new phenomenon to make movies about, you know? Because I think the 2000s were, like, really a lot of rom-coms. Like, imagine, you remember, like, think about how many romantic comedies you knew, or if it wasn't romantic. Actually, let me expound upon that. I really think the comedy genre in itself was what they were heavy on in the 2000s, because, like, I think about all the raunchy comedies that came out, like movies like Sex Drive, like Knocked Up, like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like all of these really like classic, I would, me myself personally would say, like classic comedy films. And same thing with like your American Pies and like, you know, your your like your teen coming of age comedy movies. Like that's kind of what, you know, that mid 2000s were. And I think that, or that 2000 period was. And I think that, you know, delves into, it delves into, what's the word I'm fucking looking for? It's like, it divides itself into many different comedies. But yeah, I personally do not think we're going to get any more really good superhero movies after Endgame. I think Endgame was the peak.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I don't disagree with you that there will be superhero fatigue eventually. I think, but I think it will mark the end of like the DC side of it. I don't, and I, the reason why I say that, and it'll go back to WandaVision, like, WandaVision is not like any other superhero movie or TV show you have ever seen, is it? Like, we've only seen two episodes, but, like...
I wouldn't say so. I think it's, the way that they approach it is very different. I think, ooh, and maybe that's the thing to kind of keep it fresh, like, maybe you just do different takes on it. It's like...
Exactly.
I shit on that whole Aquaman trench movie thing, but, like... I think the whole point of that movie was it's supposed to be horror themed. Right. So it's like, I don't know, I guess maybe if they, like, I don't know, if they made a movie about like a fisherman getting lost at sea and like fucking getting dragged down by the trench or getting hunted by the trench, and then like maybe at the absolute ass crack, I wouldn't even like make that like a full 2 hour, 1.5 hour movie. If anything, I feel like I'd make it like a 10-15 minute short or something. Like, because you could really build like, you know, some small casual side references to main DCEU projects through the shortened, and also now that they got that partnership with HBO Max, I feel like they could do shit like that a little bit easier, you know? Like, or you know how Marvel's about to do the Marvel What Ifs? It could be like a, hey, here's, you know, 10 episodes of DCEU cutaways, kind of, I guess, like little spin-offs almost.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think I would spend too much time developing it a whole lot, but I feel like you could do, like, a season or two of those.
I mean, yeah. That'd be interesting, but I don't know. It's got to, like you said, like, we go through phases through when it comes to, like, movie media, what have you. I agree that, like, I think we're less in the comic book universe now than we are, or like phase now, more in a universe phase where like everybody's trying to build a universe.
Yes.
Because they've seen the success of the MCU. And like Fast and Furious is like, what, like 19 movies or whatever. Like, they have that. You know, DC's trying to do their own thing. I don't even know all the other different ones. Like Arrowverse. Like all these different universe movies that are related. They try to do a dark universe once.
They got the monster movie one now too, or like you know, you know, the whatchamacallit, the like Kong versus Kong and Kong versus Godzilla. Kong versus
Godzilla,
you know, and it's just like, and it's like a lot of different things,
right? And I think, I mean, it goes back to our original topic, which is the casting. You have to have the right characters to build a universe around. Right,
10 so like, out of 10.
Like the characters and the cast, like the cast has to be the right age, right, where they like can work for 10 years and build a universe. Because like, not that I want every movie to turn into a universe,
right?
But there are like, I mean, like the, like Fast and Furious. Like, all right, I didn't really care when I saw like Hobbs and Shaw, but it was interesting, and like these are characters that were built out already in like other MCU or MCU in other Fantastic Four movies.
Fantastic Four.
I cannot. I am struggling. Okay. Other Fast and Furious movies that you're like, oh, well, like I like them. Like I like The Rock, you know? And so it's going to be interesting. I think it's one of those things where like casting is just plays a deeper role when it comes to comic book media.
Oh, yes, Sarsky. No, you're not wrong. Like, it's, and I think, you know, What's some of the worst casting that you think you've ever seen? Because I know I got a couple off the top of my head. Let's not include Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern because we talk about him a lot. but you know, right. You think about Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Yeah, that one was bad. I didn't hate Batfleck. Let's be honest here.
You didn't hate Batfleck.
I feel like if I had seen Ben Affleck in a old Batman film, he's an old Batman and he older Batman and he's got some Robins, like, and he's got a solo film, like, I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
No, 10 out of 10. I think what they should have did with Ben Affleck, how old is Ben Affleck? About 50?
Yeah, something like that.
See, if they really wanted to do that, what they should have did was, like, and I know, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, they should have just kept Christian Bale if they were going to do a universe. But, Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale didn't want to do that. So,
right.
So I think the smart move would have been, take, because Ben Affleck's 48. Like, I think it's what, 2021? So, like, I think if you were to flashback 5 years ago with him, like, in his early 40s, and it would have been like, hey, like, let's... I don't even know if there was a way that you could save that Ben Affleck. Like, I just think, like I don't think there was, like, a, you know, a storyboard way that you could save that Ben Affleck. I think that's my problem. Like, I'm just like, or that Batman. I'm just like, I don't know. Because, like, yeah, you could introduce him as, like, an older Bruce Wayne with, like, some Robins and stuff. But, like, how would we care about any of these characters, you know? Because they would have to be introduced.
I don't disagree. I think you would have to do it where he's, like, a Bruce Wayne post, you know, Jason Todd, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Where I mean, like, I think that's what they were. I think that's what they were trying to do. But apparently, the Robin suit that was damaged in Batman versus Superman was Dick Grayson's, and it's like, what the fuck are y'all doing? What are y'all doing?
I agree. But yeah, and he wasn't great in Daredevil. Jennifer Gardner played Elektra, right?
But, like, but the thing that pissed me off about Elektra is I'm pretty sure Elektra is traditionally, like, I think she's supposed to be, like, Greek or Latin or Latinx. Latinx, like, she's a woman, so she would be Latina. But, like, I'm just like, but, you know, I think Hollywood just went through a phase of whitewashing a lot of shit for a really long time. Did you ever see the Gods of Egypt movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, that shit came out in like 2012 and it was all white people and they were quote unquote the gods of Egypt, a place in Africa. It was like, okay. You know, and it's just like, I remember, you know, and like, for example, when it comes to casting, I'll never forget when the cast for Black Panther first came out, everybody on Twitter was like so excited that the whole cast was black. And I just kind of like sat there in the back and raised my hand. And I was like, I'm sorry. Are we not forgetting that this is taking place in the dead dense heart of Africa? What did y'all think they were gonna do? You know, cast Christian Bale as T'Challa? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, where was the concern there? But
no, I get it.
Historically speaking, but like, so like with Elektra being, you know, Jennifer Garner, it was just like, wow, I feel like they only did that because her and Ben Affleck were dating, or did they start dating because of Daredevil?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. Okay. But yeah, I Olivia Munn played Psylocke in like X-Men Apocalypse.
She would have been great.
What?
She would have been a great Elektra though.
She would be great in a lot of other stuff. I just feel like that was like such a minor role, and like she's a great actress. I agree. One casting I didn't like. I wish she would have gotten like her own movie. You know, like not as Psylocke, but like something else, like Elektra, I mean, like you just said.
Yeah, I think she would have been a great Elektra, but I also, you know, me and you do not agree on this shit at all, but the Elektra that they had in Daredevil was top 10, like the Netflix series, bro, I'm telling you, you really need to give the Netflix Daredevil another shot, because I think Charlie Cox's Daredevil is one of the best castings and executions of a character I've seen in all of my young life, you know, and it's just like, I really like that. And their Punisher was really good, too. Luke Cage and Iron Fist were well casted, but they weren't, like, Luke Cage was well, you know, I think Luke Cage was pretty well put together, but the Iron Fist was just put together like a fucking sloppy sandwich. Like, they did not care. They just threw a bunch of shit on a piece of bread and was like, let's feed it to them. Like, you know, so, but, you know, I think the problem, you know, with Hollywood is I feel like they'd rather pick a big name than somebody who's going to do the role justice.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up, was like how important it is to have somebody who like is a great actor but not going to steal the limelight.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, so I think about, or never mind, hold on, go ahead, and I was definitely about to cut you off.
I was just going to say, like, you think about like when Ben Affleck and Christian Bale got like cast, everybody lost their shit. Right. And, like, I don't know if Christian Bale was like that big of a deal back then as he is now. But it was like, it was more about the casting than it was about the actual movie or anything like that. Whereas like when Tony Stark was, or RDJ was cast as Tony Stark, mm-hmm. people kind of like talked about it, but it was like not a big deal, I don't think. Like nobody right. knew what was about to happen.
Right.
Chris Evans wasn't a huge name. Like he was well known, but he wasn't a huge name. Hemsworth was hardly known.
Yeah, I didn't know who Chris Hemsworth was before he was Thor.
Right. Like, he was in, like, one scary movie before that. Like, and so when you put these big, like, what is it? Jennifer Lawrence. She is Mystique in the new, like, the last trilogy of X-Men.
Right. But
because she's so big, they didn't throw her in the makeup the whole time.
True. That's true. Oh, that makes sense. Because Rebecca right. Romijn was the original Mystique, but I feel like you saw her for, like, 12 seconds in fucking X-Men The Last Stand without exactly. all her makeup on, and it was just like, man, I do not care to look at this woman, you know, or not right. no, it's like no shade to Rebecca Romijn, but like it was not like one of those things where you were like, oh my god, it's Rebecca Romijn, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. And I feel like if you're going to cast an actor that's going to be, you know, their face is going to be hidden the whole time, whatever, mm-hmm. or like their real face or whatever, or they're going to be CGI'd, like you can't put somebody who's going to be famous or like too famous for it, like. And no shit. Like, I like Jennifer Lawrence as an actress. Like, but they definitely cast her because she had a following. So they were like, people yeah. go see this movie because she's in it. So it's like a Jennifer Lawrence movie. Like, then you can't put her in the makeup the whole time.
Yeah, like, because people are going to be like, well, where's the Jennifer Lawrence I came to see? Which is ridiculous. Right. But, like, that's how people are wired.
And it's like, you can't put, you know, somebody like super famous, like, I don't know, like someone super famous as Batman. Because then when they're Batman, you're like, it's less, like, you'd see him more as Bruce Wayne, I feel like, you know?
So, and I like, that's why I really like the Robert Pattinson casting, because it's mm-hmm. like, bro, because, like, if, like, a casual, you know, watcher or listener or some shit would be like, oh, like, that's the Twilight guy, right? You know, but, like, right. a lot of people who don't, like, you know, follow his work or, like, they haven't seen any other films or, like, they're going to be the ones that are more so shocked. And mm-hmm. I kind of like that. Like, I don't think Robert Pattinson's a huge name anymore. You know, I feel right. like when we were young, like, you know, when you were about to graduate high school and, like, I was, like, sophomore, like, Robert Pattinson was a huge fucking name, you know?
He definitely was, like, the Twilight guy. And then yeah. he, like, did a bunch of other movies that weren't, like, super popular multi-million dollar movies.
Yes.
He's done, like, some indies and all that, and I think that's helped. Like, he's yes. definitely, like, our generation that was in high school during Twilight. Everybody knows him, but, like, after that, probably not.
Yeah, no, most definitely.
But yeah, I think, yeah, I agree with you. Like, he's not a huge name, so he's not going to overshadow the fact that he's Batman.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think that's good. You know, I think, right. and God forbid they do another Batman trilogy or something in the next, like, 5 years. But, you know, I feel like if they do, they gotta go a different way with it. Like, they gotta do some different stories. They gotta, like, right. you know, do some other shit. Like, it's just, like, I'm tired of the fact that my entire... you know, time on this planet, there's been 3 Spider-Men. Technically yeah. 4, if you consider Shameik Moore.
Right.
So, it's like, alright, like, y'all, it's like, again, me raising my hand, I'm like, does Marvel know that they have more characters? you know, like, does Marvel know that they have more characters? Right. Like, I think they think that, like, and don't get me wrong, I guess, like, if you really sit and look at it, like, Spider-Man kind of is and has always been their bread and butter. That's why mm-hmm. they sold him first. But
right.
it's like, you know, there's just so many, like, people in that roster who, like, have stories to be told that are not told. So,
mm-hmm.
oh.
No, I get it. I mean, I agree. And then they're supposed to be doing, like, there's so many rumors around that Spider-Man movie, like Spider-Man 3, that, like, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are coming back.
I don't see that happening. Because, like, you think, and actually, so, I think this is one of those things that we disagree on as well, but, like, I think you told me that you think Tom Holland is the Spider-Man.
I mean, I think he is the best out of the three.
Oh,
and you think it's Andrew Garfield.
I think Andrew Garfield is given a really bad rap. I think it's like...
I don't think Andrew Garfield did a bad job. Don't get me wrong. But, like, when it comes to, like, the fact that... And we've had this conversation on the podcast before. But, like, Tom Holland did the accent. Looks like he's actually in high school. And, like, didn't get bullied by, like, some kid that's slightly bigger than him. That's, like... He was the most realistic of today. Like, of what Spider-Man would be today.
I guess so. But, like, I think I liked the take on Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. Because it was, like... Yeah, he's not, like, a geek that gets bullied, but he's also not very cool at all. Like, he's, like, the kid... the Andrew Garfield version is, like, the kid that, like... It's, like, he might be 18. Andrew... I hate to say this, because, like, sounds really scummy, but, like, Andrew Garfield is, like, that 21-year-old older cousin that, like, all the high school kids have that would go and get them alcohol, but, like, right. No one else wanted him around the family, like, type shit. Like, it's just, like... It's like, we don't hate him, but it's like, we'd rather not hang out with him. So it was like, okay, like, that was the, you know, I think I like that. And also, he's naturally, like, quippier and funnier than the other two Spider-Man was. And, like, that's the thing that, like, sold it for me, you know? And, you know, the thing that pissed me off about, we're getting off track, and we're going to go back to it after this point. The thing that pissed me off about the Tom Holland one was he's funnier in the trailers than he is in the movie.
Yeah, fair.
I'm cutting you off, but like I just never forget the fact that, you know, in the trailer he goes to stop that bank robbery and he's like, hey, you guys aren't the real Avengers. I can tell Hulk gives it away. like that's funnier than what he says in the movie. Like, you know, that got me really excited. And I saw the movie, I was like, what fucking mayonnaise did they put on this fucking movie to make it this bland? Oh my god. But anyway, continue. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, I mean, I agree. There is a level of like improv that needs to be in a Spider-Man casting that I don't think Tom Holland really has. But I also don't know if that's part of the direction as well.
Right? I think that's the point. You know, I think they, but you know what I also think the problem is? I think they just wanted a squeaky, clean Spider-Man for this new generation, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see what happens in this third one. But like, we might get a darker Spider-Man or something.
I need that if they do that. If they do that shit, I'm gonna go see that shit 9 times.
Right. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I think the other casting we can't not talk about is, you know, Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa. Like, he's not getting recast. He's not getting CGI'd. Like, they're not going to bring him back any way, shape, or form, or try to replace him or recast him, what have you. So, like, and this is what I give, like, Marvel props to. Is like, they're not, like... Like, once somebody is a character to them, they're like, all right, that's your... You killed it, so you're going to stay there.
You know who would have like, been a great T'Challa? Who? You know, pre-everything, you know, and I love everything that Chadwick Boseman did, but I'm about to text you his name. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I'm just texting it to you so you can look it up.
Oh, oh my
but
God.
He plays, you know, for those of you who might be, you know, fans of HBO, he plays Daniel in Insecure. I just started watching it with my lady friend. And hold on, bro. Let me send shit, because I can't. It's not sending on my computer because Wi-Fi has pretty.
Oh, Wylan? I've Googled it real quick.
I don't know how you
Noel?
Say. Noel. Yeah. I don't know how you say his last Noel? Name or his name, but like it's. I felt like he would have been a great T'Challa. Me myself personally, he just had like.
Right.
I've been seeing him in Insecure, and I was like, damn, bro, like, cuz really like, he can really do this, you know. So,
yeah.
But like. Yes, but, like, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, Chadwick Boseman is T'Challa. You know, he just embodied that role very well. And, like, I don't know, you know, if anybody could really do it better. But I felt like, you know, pre-Chadwick Boseman, if the conversations was being had, I think Yelan Noel would have been able to kill it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I get what you're saying. But, and that's, I think when... Like, you were talking about, like, all these, like comic book fatigue or whatever is going to really set in. Like, once the MCU, like, dwindles out, if it ever does. You think it will. You predict it will. And it'll have to at one point. Like, I don't know.
Nothing lasts forever.
Nothing lasts forever. I think that point, they'll, like, because it's owned by Disney and, like, you know, money is money and you've got to make money. Mm-hmm. Like, Kevin Feige will leave at that point and they'll start they'll just do a rebirth of the MCU and start again. And all these characters, like, then the casting won't be as good because you'll be comparing it to these old classics at that point. You know, recasting somebody as Tony Stark, like, good luck.
I mean, I feel like they would have to go in an entirely different direction with the character.
Right.
You know, did you ever see Iron Man Armored Adventures?
I did not.
It was a cartoon. It came out, 2009, I think. 2008, 2009. It came out, like, before the Iron Man that we know. You know, right. It took off so well. But, like, it's basically like a teenage Tony Stark that inherits his father's company. And he's like, well, right. I got to make a suit of armor. But it's badass. Like, because it's like they have Pepper as, like, you know, a love interest. But she's also, like, his friend. Mm-hmm. And then they have Rhodey as just, like, a dude. And it's like, it just, like, they, you know, introduce, like, the core Iron Man characters in, like, this, like, hey, these guys are, like, in their late teens more so. And they're, you know, trying to fix shit because shit's horrible. You know, but, like, it's if they were to, you know, take it somewhere, like, that's a good way to take it, you know? It's just, like, they would just have to do it very different. In the same way that if they was to ever, you know, recast T'Challa or, you know, recast, you know, I'm trying to think who else has, like, killed it, like, Thor, you know, like, they would just have to go totally different with it, like.
Well, I mean, or they just do what they're about to do and have Jane Thor.
Dumb as hell. I'm really. Let me take that back. I think I just don't like that it's Natalie Portman because, like, she didn't want to be in Thor movies anymore until they was like, well, you want to be the lead, and she was like, well,
I mean, I like Natalie Portman as an actress, like, and I don't know the whole story behind, like, I don't know.
But, like, you think, so I think about, like, I don't know, Natalie Portman has had kind of a bad rap, like, you know, film-wise, right. Because she got nothing but hate for being Padme, you know?
Right. She got a lot of hate for that, and I feel like, I mean, I get it, right? So, like, you think about her in the first two movies, she was basically a plot device.
Yeah, no, I agree. She had no sense of agency, and I didn't like that about, like... But also, I think that's why they removed the whole love interest aspect from the Captain America films. Because, like, Peggy Carter had a little bit of agency, but, like, her whole, you know, Steve did everything for Peggy, you know?
Right.
So it's like him crashing the thing, you know, was ultimately was for the greater good, but it was, like, her that she was thinking about the whole time, you know? So it was just like, all right, like... That was I don't like motivation. I don't like using women as motivation tools in movies. So, like, that's why, like, you think about all the badass, good girls in, MCU movies. You think about somebody like, oh my God, what's her name? It's Lupita Nyong'o's character in Black Panther.
I can't remember it now, but yes, I know who you're talking
about. But, like, she had her own agenda. Like, she's like, hey, I got shit I'm trying to accomplish. I ain't trying to come back here and be your wife. We got bigger and better things to do out here, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, but on the converse, you know, MCU kind of fumbled the bag on how they did Liz Allen. And even some, to an extent, Mary Jane as well, you know, or MJ as well, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Because, like, I think Zendaya is a good casting for that, but Zendaya now has so much star power that she could have been her own lead for something.
She could have been. And, like, but there's something to be said if she becomes a MJ that's very similar to the one in Spider-Man PS4.
Okay. No, I see what you mean.
Like, if she was an independent reporter type and she didn't really need Peter, but, like, or was more of a partner than, like, a burden.
Yes.
Kind of like the Gwen Stacy that Emma Stone portrayed.
Yeah, because she was a good Gwen Stacy because she had, like, she wasn't a damsel in distress, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, she could kind of hold her own, and I like that when it comes to female leads. Like, and I try to avoid, even when I'm doing my own writing, I try to avoid, like, how do I not make this woman, you know, pointless? Like, you're going to put a, it's just like, oh, goes back to, you know, my thoughts on representation of LGBTQ+ characters. It's like, look, bro, if you want to throw it in there, that's fine, but, like, make it make sense. Like, don't just be like, well, now he's gay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, I, it, because, like, they did that in, whatchamacallit, They did that in the... What movie did we just watch? Oh, The New Mutants. They did that in New Mutants. It was like, why the hell... Why did we need this? You know, like, this was not earned. Like, this was... No, like, it's all about purposeful casting and purposeful, you know, the pushing of representation. Because I just hate when they just do shit to be able to say that they did shit.
Right. No, I agree. And I think it's got to make sense and it's got to feel natural instead of, like, a plot device or a gimmick. Right, so it doesn't feel like earned.
10 out of 10
I agree with that. And I'm all for, you know, more diversity and everything and the actors as well. You know, like I think it could be interesting. There was this whole thing about like a female Avengers movie coming out eventually. Like, would that be a good thing? And like, I think my problem with it is it has to make sense of why we got it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, or... Like, okay, so, like, here's an idea that I had, but, like, you know, maybe they introduce a villain that just by the grace of God, all the men are removed from the planet. There's some people who listen to... There's some women who are listening to our podcast, or, like, if only. But, but no, like maybe at that point, it's like, okay, let's do what we gotta do, you know?
Right.
But, like,
you
don't
want it to have... You don't want it to be not earned. I don't think it's just like, oh, we just left the men at home.
Like, exactly. I don't like that.
Like, you're going to go and fight like a bad guy and like, not that you can't beat him by yourself, but like, wouldn't it be easier if you brought everybody?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that's
why make hard work? Like, you got the extra spice. Like,
that's your logic for like why Superman existing breaks the whole DC.
Exactly.
Like, he could just fix everything, hypothetically speaking.
Exactly. Like, that's why Wonder Woman takes place in 1984. Like,
yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, Clark was born at that point, so.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true.
It's interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of casting out there. There's a lot of casting rumors. Do hope to get John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic.
This one fan cast
I will stand forever.
We gonna keep saying that shit till it happened. I'm gonna show up right. I'm gonna show up right outside Kevin Feige office. Ain't gonna know how I got in there. I'm just be like, look, I'm gonna tell you what you need to do, and I'm gonna tell you when you need to do it by. But no, like that would be like great. You know, I would really love to see that. Like, that's just like it's just like, has any other fan castings worked for anybody?
I
feel like there's one big one. I think it's Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool.
I don't know. I mean, Ryan Reynolds has been pushing for Deadpool for how long?
Yes, but no one was going to let him do it. Like, for like somebody, like, I think, I don't know, dude. There's one fan casting that they just listen to everybody about, and I have no idea which one it is off the top of my head, and I'm bothered.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I don't know.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's just like something worked out, and we don't know which one it is, though. So, as a matter of fact, if you listen to us, if you follow our Instagram, and if you know which one worked out, comment it, and then we'll have a conversation with what type of incentives that we can do for you. Because I will not promise anything, but I think the person who can, okay, so Ryan wants the incentive is what it sounds like.
I get what you're saying though.
But we'll figure something out. But did you have anything else to add about casting, my good friend?
No, I mean I think we covered it all. I think it's interesting. You know, it's one of those things that it basically makes or breaks a movie, and if you have too big of a name, it could ruin it. If you don't have someone who can act, it can ruin it. So it's a hard balance. I think when it's done right, you can really, really take some appreciation.
Right. No, definitely.
Oh, take us home, Greg.
Oh, absolutely. So, thank you all. You know, for tuning into this next episode of the, Geeks Painted podcast. You know, we've been doing this for about a couple months now. We've been getting a lot of love, a lot of support. A lot of people have been following. A lot of people have been downloading. Like, keep that up. Keep subscribing. Keep referring us to your friends. We just be talking shit. So, like, in order for us to continue talking shit, like, just, like, continue to tell your friends about us, and we'll keep doing it because we like to do this anyway. So, in the meantime, you know, we'll see you guys next week. We apologize for being absent last week. We experienced a myriad of technical difficulties.